As we heard earlier, there's a beefed-up police presence in Washington and New York City today after reports that al-Qaeda plans to attack the cities using car bombs to blow up bridges or tunnels on the 9/11 anniversary. Heightened security is already a daily reminder for New Yorkers that everything has changed since 9/11. It's no surprise that, as John Kalis reports, it's affected the way they live their lives, even in small ways.
As a radio journalist who lives in Manhattan, I know firsthand that after 9/11, getting into office buildings became a hassle. But don't take my word for it. Listen to Christopher Purser, a messenger who works out of a storefront on my block in Chelsea.
Trust me, it changed a whole lot after 9/11. It changed a whole lot.
Purser is 45 years old. He's been a messenger since he was in high school. He says that after the attacks on the World Trade Center, he noticed that the security people in office buildings started getting panicky, and that's made his job a drag.
It used to be fun being a courier. Now it's like a job now. So you got to show more than one piece of ID now, and you got to state who you are. And then sometimes the security guard don't trust you. So it's very hard for me to actually make a delivery in any building. And sometimes you get into arguments with the security because they're just nuts at times.
New York has such a reputation as a concrete jungle that it's easy to ignore the fact that there are miles of waterfront that afford an opportunity to go fishing. And many people do, off the piers and bridges and from boats in the harbor. Before 9/11, there were guys who would fish within spitting distance of the Statue of Liberty. John Waldman, a professor at Queens College, was one of them.
I fished around the Statue of Liberty in autumn. A professional fishing guide who fishes the harbor took me out, and we had about 75 stripers in a few hours. As we were landing the fish, the Staten Island Ferry passed by, and everybody came out to watch us. And as we pulled the fish on board, we had a standing ovation from everyone on the Staten Island Ferry. So, you know, where else can you experience that?
But that all ended on 9/11, much to the chagrin of Joe Chastain, an avid angler who has a day job as a firefighter in Jersey City.
We used to fish inches from the shore of Liberty Island, and now there's about a 125-yard barrier of buoys. You can't go past those. We caught some nice fishing there, and it was, you know, real pretty to be there. And the other restrictions around the UN, Battery, Governor's Island. So we got to flow with the punches, you know what I mean? They'll go with the flow, but it sucks. Yeah, it sucks.
The no-fishing zone includes some beautiful portions of Jamaica Bay, which are off-limits because they're too close to the runways at Kennedy Airport. Some of the restrictions in the day-to-day lives of New Yorkers are self-imposed. Meet David Rapkin, a Grammy Award-winning recording engineer who lives in Manhattan.
When I am over bridges and inside tunnels, I cannot keep myself from thinking about being exploded.
Rapkin lives on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, but his work frequently takes him into Midtown. Right after 9/11, Rapkin became obsessed with the possibility of an underground terrorist attack.
My sense is that the greatest damage to the city's existence would be an explosion in a subway station like Times Square or Penn Station.
So whenever he can, Rapkin now rides the bus instead of taking the subway. And that's remained his strategy for getting around town without getting exploded.
There are times when it's unavoidable, long trips to Brooklyn or to outer boroughs. And then I simply say to myself, que sera, sera. I believe that we have a finite number of heartbeats and that we will not pass before that number is achieved and that we will not exist after that number is accomplished.
Delivering packages, going fishing, taking the bus instead of the subway. Since 9/11, the daily rhythm of life for New Yorkers has changed in 100 small ways, and of course in a big way, too. Many of us here will never forget how Ground Zero kept burning for months after the attacks, the heartbreaking signs for missing loved ones plastered in public parks, or the flowers left at firehouse doors. Even after 10 years, some things, big and small, are still hard to shake.